Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Wednesday, January 28th. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news updates from around Wyoming. What will winters look like in 2050? Jackson Hole Community Radio's Jenna McMurtry reports one atmospheric science professor says they could look a lot like this one.
Skiing this season has been less than ideal, with warm temperatures in the valley and frequent rain events at high elevations. That's what the average winter may look like in the next few decades, according to University of Utah research professor Peter Veals.
You know, there's a little bit left to be written on this winter, but it will likely land in the neighborhood of 2 to 3 degrees Celsius warmer than the pre-industrial average, and those have put it at one of the warmest, if not the warmest, winter on record in the West.
Veal spoke on Saturday at an event hosted by Teton Backcountry Alliance. He says resorts may invest more in trying to keep the snow they get or make. That could look like storing snow under insulated tarps in the summertime. Ski areas at higher elevation with north-facing slopes will fare better than others. I'm Jenna McMurtry, KHUL News.
The U.S. Department of Education is sending notices of wage garnishment to people whose student loan payments are in default. Out of the 55,000 or so student borrowers who live in Wyoming, 1% are in default. Public News Service's Mark Richardson reports on what those borrowers can expect.
It will affect people who have these federally based loans and have not made a payment for 270 days. Jack Wallace, who directs government and lenders relations with the private company Wirefy, says borrowers need to be proactive.
We need to not put our head in the sand and pretend like this is going to go away. So if you're getting an email from your servicer, which you should be, or getting an envelope by the U.S. Post Office from your servicer, you need to open it up and find out what's going on.
The Treasury Offset Program is an automated system the federal government uses to collect delinquent debts. Garnishment can include up to 15% of a borrower's wage and also applies to 2026 federal tax refunds, Social Security, retirement and disability, and other government payments. Mark Richardson reporting.
Solar farms are becoming a familiar part of the Mountain West landscape. While there are questions about their environmental footprints, new research suggests they can coexist with rare plants. Caleb Radel has more.
Scientists from the Desert Research Institute studied a plant called three-corner milk vetch at the Gemini Solar site near Las Vegas. Before construction, they found only about a dozen plants in the area. 2 years later, they counted more than 90, and many were bigger and produced more flowers and seeds than nearby populations outside the site. That kind of outcome is unusual, says researcher Tiffany Pereira.
Normally, solar sites look like a moonscape. They take out all the vegetation. They blade it, they grade it, take out the topography, the soil seed bank. So the fact that you can have a rare plant coexisting with something like this is crazy.
Pereira says the findings could help guide how solar development moves forward across the Mountain West without automatically sacrificing sensitive desert ecosystems. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Radel.
An ancient turtle shell was discovered this fall in Wyoming by none other than an 11-year-old. Wyoming Public Radio's Indy Kara caught up with the young paleontologist.
On the day of the find, Torin Pope was out rock hunting with his grandparents on Bureau of Land Management land in southwest Wyoming.
I just happened to get bored of it and start walking around, and then I just spot this weird rock that I thought I just wanted to throw it up in the air. So instead I didn't. I found a fossilized turtle.
Pope and his grandparents reported the find to BLM right away and soon enough got confirmation that they had stumbled upon a 50-million-year-old turtle shell. The turtle roamed a much hotter and muggier Wyoming than ours, one that looked like the Florida Everglades. The turtle is a big deal to Pope. He describes himself as a huge biology nerd who loves all things paleontology. The shell has been excavated and is being studied at the Tate Geological Museum in Casper. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Indy Kara.
What is dubbed as the largest wildlife overpass in the country is opened in our region. It will provide a safe way for elk, pronghorn, antelope, and other critters to cross a busy interstate highway in Colorado, south of Denver, as Shauna Lewis reports for the Mountain West News Bureau.
The Greenland Wildlife Overpass connects nearly 40,000 acres of habitat on both sides of Interstate 25 between Larkspur and Monument. Kara Van Hoos with Colorado Parks and Wildlife says the new structure gives a variety of animals a safe place to cross six lanes of traffic, and an open line of sight helps them navigate it.
Unfortunately, wildlife can't read, so it's not like we could put signs up saying, this is safe here, go here.
It's the last piece of a wildlife crossing system that covers about 18 miles and includes underpasses and fencing. State officials expect the project to reduce wildlife vehicle crashes by 90%. Shauna Lewis.
That story comes to us from our Mountain West News Bureau. And now let's hear from Ivy Engel for a lighter look at Wyoming news.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. A Powell woman is helping honor fallen soldiers and first responders while giving their families something tangible to hold. The Powell Tribune reports years ago, Carrie Sommer tried making a teddy bear of her own on a whim. Now she's turned the hobby into a nonprofit that makes teddy bears out of the uniforms of those who've died for their family members. They cost nothing for the families. Bears of Honor even covers the cost to ship the uniforms to Sommer. A new piece of art has come to Jackson. Buckrell reports Abre tu Sala, or Open Your Wings, was designed by Jackson Hole High School's Spanish and Culture class. The vibrant flying geese represent the journey that graduating students make when moving beyond the classroom and toward new destinations. A new award will honor teachers in Weston County School District No. 1 who exhibit kindness, resilience, and excellence. The Newcastle Newsletter Journal reports the annual recognition will be named in honor of longtime educators Jean and Pat Ward. It will be presented during a school award ceremony and include an unrestricted cash award. And according to Find a Super Tutor, Wyoming students struggle with math the most. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. When was gold discovered at South Pass? Send us your answer to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll give a shout-out to the first person with the correct answer. As for yesterday's trivia question, what was the primary business of Jeffrey City during that town's boom years? During its boom years in the 60s and 70s, Jeffrey City was a uranium mining and milling town driven by the Western Nuclear Corporation's Split Rock Mill. At its peak, the town's population was around 4,500. Congratulations to Holly Green, who was the first to submit the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Enjoy the day and join me again tomorrow.